Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Thank you for joining us today for this Easter edition of Hope Along the Journey. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, your podcast host, and it is always a joy to have you joining with us on these podcasts or broadcasts, whatever venue you are listening to Hope Along the Journey through. It's just, we're just delighted to have you and appreciate you so very, very much. This is Holy Week. This is Easter. What a special time of the year for those of us as believers. And so today I want to share something very special with you in just a few moments about the Easter message. But before I share that today, I just want to take a few moments to encourage all of you who are listening to take a few moments, if you haven't already, and go to our website. That's www.hopealongthejourney.org. Again, just hopealongthejourney.org. And we'd love for you to sign up for our newsletter. Whenever you go to the website, there should be a pop-up screen that says Stay in Touch. And we'd love for you to give us your email so we can stay in touch with you. Also, we'd like for you, if you're a new listener, to join with us through our various means of social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Again, Facebook, just look up Hope Along the Journey and you'll find it, or on Instagram. I am personally on LinkedIn, so if you just look Mark Cravens up on LinkedIn, I just would love to connect with you. If you would like to take a few moments and send us an email, that email address is just simply hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. I want to say a special thank you to all of you who are involved with our March missions offering. During the month of March, we sent out an appeal asking people to help us for a very special project. And that was, we were raising money to buy clothing for 30 pastors and their spouses in the country of India. Many of you know, some of you may not know, that generally at the end of the month, I have a morning where I take some time early in the morning to share with pastors over in India. I work with an organization called Calvary Hope Ministries, who have a wonderful group of pastors who are laboring to share the gospel in the country of India. And this year, we raised enough money, $700, we raised enough money to be able to buy the clothing so that every pastor and their wife had a brand new set of clothing for Easter Sunday. I just want to thank all of you who gave for that missions offering. I also just want to take a moment to remind everybody as well that one of the things that God laid on my heart when I started Hope Along the Journey was to use the funds that came in, 20% of it, to go to missions. And so we normally regularly give to missions projects throughout the year, but we like at least once or twice a year to have a very special missions project. And this was just, it was just such a joy to be able to make this possible for those 30 pastors and their wives. And so I thank you, all of you who gave and those who made it possible. May God richly bless you. Reading today from Luke's Gospel and chapter 24, the familiar Emmaus Road account. So listen, if you would, for just a few moments as I read this beautiful story of what takes place after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" In other words, how in the world could you not know what has just taken place? And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he, Jesus, said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened to us the scriptures?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." What a powerful post-resurrection account of Jesus appearing to these men as they're walking on the road to Emmaus. I think about this journey quite often, not just at this time of the year, but I think about it many times throughout the year. Because I think these disciples, in many ways, these followers of Jesus, their story can connect with so many people's story. You see, these men had, like so many others, believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one whom the prophets had promised would come. They had hoped, did you catch that word? They had hoped that he would be the one who would redeem Israel. But they had witnessed the horror and the tragedy of what we call today Good Friday. They saw the mob take him. They saw his scourged body as it was nailed to a Roman cross. They heard the utterances from the cross. They saw him as he surrendered up his spirit and gave up the ghost and slumped his head on a pulseless chest and died. They knew that he had been put in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They knew that that Rome had sealed that tomb and place guards there. And then they heard the startling story of these women who had been there and said that they saw the grave clothes, but they didn't see him, and that there was an angel who said that he was alive. And it all just seems so overwhelming, so impossible. So much so that they're not staying in Jerusalem. So much so that they are walking a 7-mile journey to Emmaus. But I really believe that this walk to Emmaus was far more than just a logistical walk of 7 miles. Not just a physical journey. I think there was something happening spiritually and emotionally. They were on a journey. They were on a journey in which their faith had been shattered. Their hopes had been dashed. And in a sense, they were walking away from it all. I mean, why stay? None of it makes sense. Why stay? It's just been a horrible and tragic weekend. Why stay? The one whom they had put all their hopes in was now dead. And who could believe these tales that these women were telling of angels and a resurrected Christ? I mean, this just seemed impossible for them. And so, disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned, and probably feeling a great deal of despair, and they're walking away from it all. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been on your personal Emmaus road like I have? Have you hit a place, a chapter in life where it seemed like what was happening didn't seem to make sense? You wondered, how in the world does this fit into the scheme of God's will and design and purpose for my life? What good is there in this? We read the scripture, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who called according to his purpose. But sometimes we are unable to see the good because of the present heartache, tragedy, grief, loss, misunderstanding, or whatever may be happening in our life. And we too can feel like these men felt, as if, why stay? Why keep believing? What use is there in going on? What hope is there? And we can be tempted. Oh, yes, we can. You and I can be tempted to just want to walk away from it all. I have a feeling that as I share these words, there's somebody there that your faith may be just being held on by a thread. Things are happening in your life and that you can't seem to make sense of. Your private world has unraveled. Your outer world seems to be in shambles. And this Easter season, you're trying to hold on to your faith, and yet it seems so fragile at this time. Well, I don't have all the answers for you. I wish I did. But I do see some things in this story that I think are imperative for us who may be at that Emmaus Road journey in our own lives. First of all, I look at this story and I see that the risen Christ graciously joins these men. As they're walking along, as they're talking, as they're just sharing the brokenness and disappointment and the sadness, it says that Jesus himself drew near with them. He drew near and went with them on this journey. I find great encouragement in that, because sometimes when I'm in this journey, or if I'm at this point like you have been, or maybe you are, it can seem like God is far away. In fact, to these men, their eyes were unable to see him. They were restrained, and he was a stranger to them. They did not recognize him. How that all miraculously took place, I'm not sure. I just know that it did. But they couldn't see him, and yet he was there. Now, I don't want to spiritualize it too much, but the reality is that that happens in our lives too. I mean, God is there, and yet sometimes for whatever reason, we are not able to see him. And yet he draws near to these doubting disciples, disillusioned and discouraged, hurting and heartbroken, sad and hopeless. Jesus draws near to them. I just want to assure you that he is near to you. He is the God who heals the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. He is the one who nothing can separate us from his love. He is the one who said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And even if our sadness, our emotions, our thought processes seem to render us unable to see him, no, he is there. But I noticed something else about this risen Christ. And this Christ of the Emmaus Road, he then opens to them the bigger story. The bigger story. For you see, there was a bigger story that was going on. In fact, they were just looking at what was immediately happening in their lives. The tragedy, the disappointment, the circumstances that just didn't seem to be making sense, and trying to interpret life from what was immediately taking place or had recently happened. And so what Jesus does, he opens to them the scriptures and begins with Moses and the prophets and begins to show them the purpose in it all. That everything that happened had a reason and a purpose that fit into the bigger narrative, the bigger story of the story of redemption. That touches my heart very deeply because your story and my story right now, it may seem like the chapter, the pages of our story right now don't seem to be making much sense. But in the bigger narrative, in the bigger story of it all, God has a plan and a purpose. Even things like Joseph said, "You meant this for evil, and Satan meant it for evil. But God will turn it somehow for his good in our lives." So he opened to them the bigger picture, through the scriptures. Another thing I see is that this Christ is the one who also, upon invitation, he stayed with them. I love that. He made as though he was going to pass on, as though he were going to pass by, and yet they beg him, "Oh, abide with us, stay with us." And so Jesus did. Jesus sat down with them, and we read the account here again where Jesus then sits down with them, and he takes the bread, he blesses it, and he breaks it. And it is at that moment that their eyes are open, and they know him. When I get to heaven, I want to see if I can find an answer to this. There's a lot of different interpretations or ideas. Was it that as he was breaking the bread, they saw the nail prints in his hands? It could have been, because I know later on he shows his nail prints to Thomas, who is doubting, and he says, "Here, you know, put your finger in my hands and my side." So was it as he's breaking the bread, they see nail prints in his hands? I don't know. Was it because they had seen him break bread when he fed the multitudes? Was it the fact that, you know, the words as he broke the bread on the night that he was betrayed, "This is my body given for you"? I don't know, but somehow in that breaking of the bread, Jesus was revealed to them and their eyes were open. Wow, how fascinating that moment must have been. And they turned to one another and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us on the road and opened to us the scriptures?" Their hearts were already aflame. Their hearts had already been ignited with new passion and excitement whenever he had opened to them and showed them the bigger picture of scripture. But now, even in a greater measure, their hearts are on fire. Because now they know that he is alive. He's alive forevermore. And what happens that night is incredible because they have gone 7 miles. I don't know if you've ever walked 7 miles in your life, but that's no small journey. And that same night, they get up and these men go back 7 miles to Jerusalem. They're not walking away now. They're going back to Jerusalem, back where it's dangerous, back where they don't know if before another week is out, a number of his followers may end up on Roman crosses, back where there is still a lot of swirling speculation and accusation going on against these followers of Jesus. And yet, because he's alive, fear is gone. Because he is alive, hope has been restored. Because he is alive, there's a reason to go back. There's a reason to believe. There's a reason to have hope. There's a reason for faith. And they go back and join with the other followers of Jesus, rejoicing that Christ the Lord was risen indeed. Again, I know I'm speaking to somebody today, maybe several people, who are on an Emmaus Road journey. Difficulties, heartaches, setbacks, illness, disease, grief, loss, many things come in our lives. Life doesn't always work out the way we pencil it in, does it? All of our goal setting may be for naught at some point. Life has its unpredictable twists and turns, and things happen in our life that may not seem to have any real rhyme or reason. But here is where our hope lies. Our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is not in our present dilemma. Our hope is not even in presently the good things that may be happening in our life. Our hope is anchored in one thing. Actually, it's anchored in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ, who I say over and over through this Hope Along the Journey ministry, that he is truly the hope of the world. And this Easter week, I just want to underscore that and reiterate that to each one of you. I wouldn't be sitting here today in front of this microphone sharing this simple message with you if it weren't for the fact that I have found that Jesus is the Christ of hopeless situations. That when all hope seems gone, when faith is frail and fragile and seems to be faltering, that he's a Christ who comes to us, the Christ who is able to show us the bigger story, the Christ who will abide with us, the Christ who ever lives for us. Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friend, I just want to encourage you, put your hope and trust in him. Right now, this moment, while you're listening, just bow your head and say, Jesus, I don't understand all that's going on. I don't understand everything that's happening in my life. But I know you are my hope, and I know you've promised you'd never leave me or forsake me. Cast your cares upon him, as Peter says. He really cares about you. Just throw the weight of all of this happening in your life. Throw the weight of it on him. And let him know that you need him. God is attracted. Jesus is attracted to our weakness. When we admit in humility we can't do this thing called life any longer on our own, he is attracted and drawn to that in such a special way. And so I want to encourage you today to just draw near with faith and put your hope and trust in Him. I encourage you this Easter, if you haven't yet, go back and reread the story of the cross and the empty tomb. Go back and rewalk those steps with many of His believers and disciples who struggled through all of that. Read the account of the Emmaus Road. Read the account of the restoration of Simon Peter. Read those stories and let them renew your hope and your faith in the reality that Jesus is indeed alive, and He's alive forevermore. If personally I can pray for you, please reach out and let me know. Connect with me through a message on Facebook or Instagram, or send me an email at hopealongthejourney@gmail.com. Let me know how I can pray for you. But I just want to encourage you this Easter week to look to Jesus Christ. For as I have said and will continue to say, He is truly the hope of the world. And if you will look to Him, you will find hope along the journey. May God bless you, friend. May this Easter week be a wonderful week for you and your family and your loved ones. And may the Christ of the Emmaus Road fill your heart with hope and faith this Easter. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Hope Along the Journey.